Now we're turning again tonight to the book of Psalms. We've been doing a little series entitled Preaching the Gospel from the Psalms. Tonight we're at Psalm number 40. We have looked at Psalm number 1. We have considered Psalm number 22 and Psalm number 32. And tonight we come to Psalm 40, and I just want to read the first few verses of this psalm. It's again a psalm by David, and it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And we'll end there at verse number 4. We find that the psalmist begins the psalm with a personal word of testimony. He's testifying as to what the Lord has done for him on a past occasion. And I find that testimonies are very interesting. I have sat beside many people down through the years who have come to give their testimonies, and I find that testimonies are very interesting. I don't think I've ever heard two the same, exactly the same. And of course, it just shows us the various ways that God can work by His Spirit to speak to people about their need of Christ. And I think that testimonies are important, because Peter said that we should be always ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And when a person gives their testimony, particularly a person who's young in the faith, I think that it's good for them to be able to do that, because it helps them to strengthen their faith and to grow in grace, and it shows the greatness of God through the work that He has done in so many different lives. We find some great testimonies in the Word of God. Probably the most well-known of all is the testimony of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And I think that, if I'm right, that about five times in the New Testament, Paul gives his testimony. We think particularly of Acts chapter 22, and also of Acts chapter 26, when he gave his testimony to Agrippa and Bernice. And he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We think also of the blind man that we read about in John's Gospel chapter 9. You remember, this man was blind from birth, and the Lord Jesus spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and took the clay and anointed the man's eyes and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and came seeing. And when the neighbors came to him and asked him about this thing, they said, therefore, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. And that's a lovely word of testimony. Now he says, a man that's called Jesus, that's how mine eyes were open. He made clay, and I went and did as he told me to do, and I came seeing. And you remember, how they questioned him further. The critics questioned him further, and he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not, but one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see. So it's very interesting to go through the scriptures and to find all the testimonies. Here's David here in Psalm 40, and he's giving his testimony. He's looking backward. He's looking back, and he's telling us what God has done for him. And you know, when you read these people giving their testimony, they give you a model to follow. You'll find that Paul and David as well, when they were giving their testimony, they began by telling people about their life before they came to Christ or before they came to the Lord. And then they went on and they told about how they met the Lord, how they came to know the Lord. And then, of course, they went on to tell the how and what the Lord had done for them since they came to Him. So that's just a simple outline about giving one's testimony. Here is David, and he's giving his testimony, and he's taking us back here, and he says, He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. You know, friends, he's looking backward and he's telling us through the psalm what God had done for him. There's an old hymn that we used to sing quite a number of years ago. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. And we find here that the Lord saved David. He was in this situation and he's remembering he was in a horrible pit. And he was sinking in that pit, and the Lord brought him out of the pit and set his feet upon a rock. The Lord saved him. And the first thing I want to say tonight, just three things about this psalm. First of all, the Lord can save you. The Lord can save you. David speaks about a horrible pit and the miry clay. You know, many hunters in those days, when they were laying traps, they would dig a pit in the ground and they would camouflage it and they would cover it over so that the suspecting beast would not see it. And now, usually in the bottom of this pit that was in a despicable and horrible situation, some of these pits were filled with mud. And my David speaks about the horrible pit that he had been in. And you know, friends, as we try to expand on that this evening and try to apply it to our situation today, we remember that there is horrible pits that men and women find themselves in. There's the horrible pit of sin. Man, that's a horrible pit to be in, because sin brings us down, doesn't it? Sin brings people down. My people who have done well in life, young people who are bright, who have a great future ahead of them, and yet sometimes they get involved in sin, and sin brings us down. It brings us down into the pit. It takes hold of people. Some people get into the horrible pit of gambling, and the gambling gets a hold of them. And no matter how much they try, they cannot get out of the pit. They cannot break the habit. And other people, they find themselves in the horrible pit of alcoholism. And that's a horrible pit to be in. And many people have found that they cannot get out of it, and they end up alcoholics and so on, and suffer from illness and sickness and cirrhosis of the liver and so many things. These are the consequences of sin. And of course, there's the horrible pit of drugs that many people find themselves in today. And my, the more they try and the more they wrestle with it, the more it conquers them, and they cannot get out of the pit. So there's the horrible pit of sin. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in the horrible pit of sin. And then, of course, there's the horrible pit of empty religion. People have religion, but no reality. No reality in it. People go to church and do their best, but really, if you question them closely, They have no personal Saviour. They have no experience of the new birth. They have no sacrifice. They have no life. They have no hope. Many today are in the horrible pit of empty religion. There's the horrible pit of unbelief. And my dear friends, people just do not believe. They do not believe. And we could go on tonight about these different horrible pits. Those who are sinking in the horrible pit. If you're in one of these horrible pits tonight, it's a horrible pit to be in, because if you don't get out of the horrible pit, you'll go on down to the bottomless pit that you'll be in for all eternity. But David was able to say this. He says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay." Man, that's great to be able to say in his testimony. He's looking back and he's remembering that he was in the horrible pit and in the miry clay. And he says, "He brought me up." And of course, when he says, "He brought me up out of the horrible pit," he's referring to the Lord. He's referring to the God of his salvation. You see, the Lord saved him. The Lord saved him. The Lord brought him out of that pit. The Lord delivered him. And you know, friends, David's body was in danger. But if you're in the horrible pit tonight, my, your soul's in danger. Your soul's in danger. And my, you need to be delivered out of the horrible pit and from the miry clay, lest you perish in your sins and be lost for all eternity. You know, the Lord can save you tonight as he saved David. The Lord can deliver you tonight. He can bring you up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. You see, when we talk about salvation, salvation embraces a number of things. It embraces deliverance. People get saved. They get delivered. They get set free. Some are delivered from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. It means to be delivered from the power of sin. My, sin has a power over people. It takes them captive. But when you're brought out of the pit and the Lord saves you, my, he delivers you from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. It means to be delivered from eternal death. It means to be delivered from hell and destruction and the lake of fire. This is what they were saved from. This is what we're saved from. Yes, salvation embraces deliverance. And of course, when we talk about salvation, it embraces forgiveness. Forgiveness. To be saved means to have your sins forgiven. Quite simply, that's what it means. To have your sins forgiven. Paul said to the Colossians, "We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." My dear friends, our sins stand against us. Our sins condemn us. And there's not one person in this evening service tonight who hasn't sinned. There's not one person who hasn't broken the Ten Commandments. But the wonderful thing is this, that the Lord can give us the forgiveness of sins. You remember last week we referred to the man who with the palsy, and Jesus said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk." And you remember how they criticized him for that and said, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" And of course, he was God manifest in the flesh. And you see, friends, salvation embraces deliverance and it embraces forgiveness. To be saved means to be justified, to be acceptable to God. Paul preached at Antioch, And they said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified through the law of Moses. You see, before I was saved, running about the streets of Lisburn, before I was saved, you know, friends, God saw me in my sins. God saw me in the rags of sin. And then one night on the 15th of November, 1963, just up the road about there at the top of the Long Stone in my own room, it came to me that God loved me and He wanted to save me and He could save me, and I got down and I called on God for mercy to save my precious soul. And that night the Lord saved me, and that moment God no longer saw me in my sins. He saw me in Christ, just as if I'd never sinned at all. And that's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be saved. It's a great thing to be saved. It means to be delivered. It means, dear friends, to have forgiveness of sins, and it means to be justified. Salvation embraces conversion. Conversion. It's a work of regeneration. Is wrought within us by the Holy Ghost. And we become a new creature. Ah, dear friends, it's new life. It means to be transformed. And I've heard people say, you know, about people maybe that's living on the loose side, and they're away down, and they're away from God, and away from sin. And I've heard people say, you know, do you see her? You'll never change her. Or do you see him? You'll never change him. Nobody will ever change him. And from a human aspect and point of view, that may be right. No human can change another human, but God can change people. And God can transform people's lives. And God, by His grace, has transformed people's lives. And He has brought them up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And He has made them new creatures. He has turned their life around. He has given them something to live for, and only God can do that, friends. My many testimonies witness to the transforming power of the gospel. And David says tonight in this psalm, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And what he's saying was, the Lord saved me. The Lord saved me. Can you say that tonight? You saved. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? And then he said this. He says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And what he's saying now is this, that the Lord can not only save you, but the Lord can secure you. Secure you. He set my feet upon a rock. He was down sinking into the mire in the horrible pit. But the Lord brought him up out of the horrible pit and he set his feet upon a rock. A rock is a solid foundation. A rock speaks of security. Security. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And when it was put to the test, my dear friends, it came up trumps. Because when the wind came and the storm came and the rains came, it stayed upright because it was founded upon a rock. We live in a day when people are looking for security, aren't they? Security. Job security. Security for their work. Security for the family. And there's so many things that people are looking for to give them that security. That security. What about security for your soul? What about soul security? What are you resting your soul on tonight? Your never dying soul. That soul of yours that will last for all eternity. What are you resting on for the eternal security of your soul? What are you depending on for the eternal security of your soul? What foundation, dear friend, are you standing on tonight? What foundation have you? The psalmist was standing on a rock. Standing on a rock. Why, when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, do you remember there was no water, and God told Moses to smite the rock? From the rock there came water. And when the Apostle Paul referred to that situation away over in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, and he referred to Moses smiting that rock, he said this, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And dear friends, that's the rock that you need to be depending on tonight. That's the rock that you need to be standing on. That's the rock that you need to be trusting on. The only foundation that can stand the test of time and eternity is the rock, Christ Jesus. My, the finished work of Christ. You know, friends, Christ died as a sacrifice for sin. He paid the ransom price for sin. He rose again. He finished the work. He rose triumphant o'er the grave. And from that great work at Calvary, the gospel message goes forth and presents a Savior to poor lost sinners who's in the horrible pit and in the miry clay. And my, that's the rock that men and women need to put their feet on tonight. Because it's on that foundation of the death and burial and resurrection of God's Son that a holy God can come out and offer forgiveness and pardon to those who believe. Remember last week we were pointing out that, you know, we need to be depending on the atoning death of Christ. The atoning death of Christ. And the precious blood of Christ. And the finished work of Christ. My dear friends, that's the only rock. And that's the rock that you need to be standing on tonight and depending on tonight. Because that's the only rock that can give you security. You know, friends, a man or woman, when they stand on that finished work, they know it's enough. They know it's enough. The hymn writer said, I need no other argument. I seek no other plea. It 'tis enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And the believer has eternal security because he's depending and standing on the eternal rock of ages. So David says, you know, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he says, you know, the Lord saved me. He saved me and set my feet upon a rock. And he's saying, you know, he secured me. He gave me security. And then he said this, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And he's saying, you know, he saved me, he secured me, and now he says he satisfies me. He satisfies me. Yes, he hath put a new song in my mouth. You know, there's different things that indicate happiness. People, when they're happy, You find them singing or whistling or doing something like that. And you know, people today, I believe they're looking for satisfaction. And they're trying to find satisfaction. They're trying to find life. They're trying to find something that makes life worth living, that brings joy and happiness. And we find that many people are looking for these things, and some are looking for them in different places and in different ways. Some are looking for satisfaction and contentment and happiness in the world. And I remember the years that that's where I looked for it. But you know, I really never could find it. I never could find real happiness and contentment in the world. You remember the prodigal? My, he thought he could find, you know, the answer to life down at the world. And he went down and he engrossed himself in the activities and in the pleasures and in the sins of the world. And down there in the world, he was looking for happiness and he was looking for life that was worth living. And he was looking for joy, and he was looking for the things that he felt he couldn't find at home. And you know, when he went down to the world to try to find satisfaction, do you know what he found down in the world? He found famine. And he found misery and hunger. You know, the rich young ruler, he found no satisfaction in wealth and in good works, in money, in position. And you know, friends, these things cannot buy you happiness and rest. The man in the tombs, my, he found no satisfaction in wild living, living a wild life. People are looking for satisfaction today, and they're trying to find it in so many different places and in so many different ways, and in so many different things. And you know, one is reminded of the words that we find in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 2, when he talked about the cisterns, the broken cisterns that can hold no water. David says, you know, the Lord, he saved me. And he says, the Lord secured me. And he says, you know, he has satisfied me. Simple, isn't it? Just three little things. And there's many people here tonight, and they could say the same. Why, this psalm applies to them, because they can sing the song that David sung. They can say the same. You know, the Lord saved me. He brought me up out of the horrible pit. And the Lord set my feet upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus. And bless God, he's the solid rock. There's nobody bigger than him. My dear friends, there's nobody will take away that foundation, because Christ is thy eternal Son of God. My dear friends, he saved me. He secured me. Many people could say, he satisfied me. He satisfied me. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed even as I stooped to drink. They mocked and mocked me as I wheeled. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me there's life and love and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. Tell me this tonight. Are you satisfied? Are you happy? Or is there something missing in your life? And you've tried to find satisfaction and joy and so many things and in so many places and so many people, and you still haven't found it. Now, when you listen to the testimonies, not only these testimonies I've mentioned tonight, but when you listen to people getting up and giving their testimony, my, none of them would go back to what they came from. Christ meets people of all ages, from all backgrounds, from all kinds of places, from all nationalities, with all colours of skins, he can meet men and women at the point of their need, and he can give them life with a capital L, life that satisfies them. May God help us to be able to say with the psalmist tonight, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. May many see it and fear and trust in the Lord. If there's people here tonight and you're not saved, you can be saved. You can be secure. You can be satisfied. And those of us who know the Lord, may people see Christ in us and come and trust.